we're getting close to finishing up this book of Joshua. I think we're going to finish next week. I think there needs to be one more week. I thought about being done this today, but I think we need to do one more. And so the Sunday, as we break out into small groups, we will finish, and then we will begin a new chapter. I don't know what chapter that will be yet, but I will know in 2 weeks from now, and we'll be good to go on that. I need to read the story this morning. I don't normally do that. I mean, I always read from the text, but I need you to hear the story as it goes. We've been talking the last few weeks about how it's just, you know, you beat up him, he beat up him, they took this land, they took this land, they divided this land, they divided this land. And we found some great nuggets in that. But right after they get done, basically they head to their houses to live out their lives, and Joshua says goodbye, and then he dies. That's kind of the last three chapters, all right? But we're going to be looking at those three things today. And after everything's divided, and all the lands are pretty much, not completely, but pretty much conquered, the Lord gave Israel all the land he'd sworn to give their forefathers. The Lord gave them rest on every side. And not one of the Lord's good promises he failed to fulfill. Every one of them was fulfilled. So, we're in chapter 22 today. Chapter 22 of Joshua. Joshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh and said, "You've done all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and you have obeyed me and everything I commanded for a long time now. Very day. You've not deserted your brothers, but have carried out the mission of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God has given you and your brothers the rest he's promised. Return to your homes in the land that Moses gave you. On the other side of the Jordan, be careful to keep the commandments, the laws that Moses the servant of God gave, and to walk in all of his ways, obey his commands. Hold fast to him and serve him with all of your heart." Joshua blessed them. Now we're going to read more, but let me back up and say that if you'll remember, back early in the book, when they were getting ready to go in, all right, there were 9.5 tribes, give or take, that were going to settle in the promised land. And there were a couple others who were made to farm, made to work, kind of built for this land. They call it the Transjordan, on the other side of the Jordan. They were going to actually set up camp. That was going to be theirs, if you remember that. But all of the families kind of said, no. You don't get to stay here right off the bat. You all have to come with us and fight the good fight, all right? The Israelites are all taking the promised land together. When we're done, you can go back and have your land, no problem. But come fulfill your obligation as a part of the family first. Y'all remember that? That was back in chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right in there, okay? Now, they've done that, all right? And they're starting to settle, all right? And so what's going to happen next is Joshua's going to say, "You're good to go. You're good to go. Head back across there with our blessings. We love you. You're a part of the family. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." Mwah! And they make their way back. That's really what we just read. But you needed to know what had gone on before and in between so that you'll understand what happens next. Okay? Let's go on with the story. We're going to tie all this up at the end, but I'm going to tell you about each part. Now Joshua blessed them and sent them all their way, and they went to their homes. I'm going to skip when Joshua sent them home, he blessed them, saying, "Return to your homes with great wealth." They took their part of all of the plunder. When they took all of these kings over the last 6 to 8 chapters, they took all of their gold, all of their livestock, all of the stuff from everybody they plundered. They divided it up like it was supposed to be. They took all of that back over across the Jordan and divided it up, set some aside for their ancestors, you know, started their savings accounts of cattle and plunder, all right, and we're ready to go. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh left the Israelites, and Canaan returned to Gilead, their own land, which they had acquired accordance with the command. So far, everything is what? In accordance to his command by the law of Moses. They did everything like they were supposed to do. Everybody agreed on that. When they came to Gilead, near the Jordan and the land of Canaan, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half tribe of Manasseh built an imposing altar there by the Jordan. Okay? When the Israelites heard that they had built the altar on the border of Canaan, at Gilead near the Jordan, the whole assembly gathered at Shiloh to go to war against them.
Now, you get what's happened in just two verses? We've gotten everything we ever wanted. We've gotten everything that God promised. We've experienced the good and the bad together, which is going to come in later. All right? And now, you all have gone to your land. And what they did was on their way out, they built a giant altar, probably mimicking the temple that was built in the promised land, looking very similar to it. All right? We don't get any more details than that. We get they built an altar right kind of at the entrance, okay? As they're coming out, right there. Well, the other 9.5 tribes, the other Israelites, okay? They get really disturbed by this. You wouldn't think it would be a big deal. Place of worship, house of worship, right? You know, now, I went down to, we didn't have enough communion cups this morning. So I seriously texted Brother Radford, Brother Moses down there, and I was like, hey, got a sleeve of cups? Come on down. So I went down to see Brother Radford, he handed me some communion cups, all right? By the way, today's his 25th anniversary at his church. That's a long time. That's a long, I don't think NBC's ever had one that long. We're going to work on that, all right? I don't know if I'm standing up for that long, but we'll see. All right? Or vice versa. Now, you know, it's not odd for us to see a church on every corner. There's some good in that and some not good in that. But that is the way it is, and we're used to it. Not the way it was then. See, in their mind, territories, borders to lands, were also spiritual borders. All right? You worship the God of X place. The God of Y place. Your God was the God of your land. Now, they had gone into another land, and they were supposed to worship the God of Israel, but they had built another temple. Now, and every other time they'd ever seen this, this meant there was some kind of other God, some kind of idol, some kind of something that they're worshiping. And the Israelites were thinking, without asking, important to the sermon, they were thinking, man, we just let them go. And they're already worshiping somebody else. They're already setting up their own camp. They're already taking on their own religion. All right? And in one verse, we go from everything's going to be all right to it's time for war. They literally were ready to kill their brothers and sisters over this altar. All right? That's where we are. We've gone from peace to civil war over a building. What they were worried about was a concern. The reason it was a concern is because they still are the nation of Israel. And if you'll remember, several times through Joshua, when somebody did something wrong, everybody suffered. All right? Remember the guy that stole the plunder? They were supposed to take the plunder back to the altar, but he took some out, and the whole nation got their hindsides kicked by the next group that came in, and they had this big thing, and he and his family and everybody came to them, all were slaughtered. When one person screws up, everybody takes the blame. So Israel immediately thought, man, if they're worshiping another God, God can't bless us. He's going to look at us and go, you can't even get it right for a few days or a few weeks, and he's going to come down on them and on us. We got to fix this. So they send in a delegation. That's what happens next. Let's read. So the Israelites sent Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest. They sent Eleazar's son. He was an important guy in the story. They sent his son in because he'd earned respect for his religious fervor. Okay? The theology books that I read said not only Eleazar, but his son was very much known for his outspoken fervor for the Lord. He wasn't afraid of godly confrontation. That's kind of the guy they sent. They sent the one that was, you know, had the stature, but also was ready to talk, not shy. They sent him in. And to Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe, and when they sent the 10 chiefs with him, all right, so there's your group, one for each tribe, each head of the family. And they went to them, and they said, the whole assembly of the Lord said, how could you break faith? Notice, we have zero response from the tribes yet. We haven't heard anything from them. The only mention is they built an altar. That's it. So far. says, how could you break faith? How could you turn away from the Lord and build an altar in rebellion against Him now? Did you hear that? How can you build an altar in rebellion? That's important. Was the sin of Peor not enough for us? Up to this day, we have not cleansed ourselves from that sin, even though the plague fell upon the whole community. And are you now turning away from the Lord? If you rebel against the Lord today, tomorrow He's going to be angry with the whole of Israel. If the land you possess is defiled, come over to the Lord's land, where the Lord's tabernacle stands. Share the land with us, but do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building up your altar for yourselves when the other altar is there. When Achan, son of Zerah, acted unfaithfully regarding the devoted things, did not the wrath of God come upon us? He was not the only one who died for his sin. Okay. Here's the situation. Alright? And I just got some Fresh Prince of Bel-Air running in my head. I gotta get that out. Okay, here's the situation. My parents were the lamb. Yeah. That just, I said that. That just, the 80s kicked in. Sorry. So, here's what's going on. They went over and they built an altar. That's all we know. You know, I've taught you before and I'll teach you again. Say only what you know. Don't say anything you don't know. Don't assume. Alright? And this delegation comes over, and here's what they say. What in the world are you doing? How in the world could you build this monstrosity to another god and rebel against God? Don't you even understand that that's not just going to affect you and God's going to strike you down, but it's going to affect us and it's going to strike us down too? Don't you remember what happened when this guy did what he did? When this guy did what he did? Or if you want to come home, come back home and worship there and then come back. But please don't do this. Never ask them what they were doing. Never said why. Simply immediately jumped to this conclusion of you have another God already and you can't even listen for a day. Church, can I ask you a question? Anybody here ever jumped to conclusions? Seen a photograph of something and just assumed? Heard a rumor and just assumed? Seen a pregnant woman and just assume. Son of Rich. <Rich's a thing. laughs> Notice a preacher along the street and dressed like this and just assume. You know? That's dangerous, isn't it? I believe in watching out for your brother. As I was reading, some notes were pushed my way. Somebody said, you know, this may be, I think it was Spencer who mentioned to me, he said, this may be the first instance of church discipline, or at least one of them, of the community coming together and trying to go and deal with something. You see that? They go and they try. I'm glad they didn't just start throwing spears, but they surely jumped the gun. All right? Here is an incredible and a beautiful response, and a response I want you to hear. Because sometimes when people come at us, when people assume about us, our first reaction is very, very defensive. We clam up a little bit, or we lash out a lot. Golly, guys, this is what all of us. When somebody maybe even trying to help us but says they don't like the way we did something, or says, why did you do something? And we know they're wrong. But it just gets way down in our craw and we want to point fingers and go, why didn't you ask? Why didn't you? They had about 100 ways they could go with this. Angry because their motives were right and nobody asked. But I want you to listen to the response of the Transjordan people. Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe replied, the mighty one, God, the Lord. That's very important. The mighty one, God, the Lord. Again, the mighty one, God, the Lord. And they repeat it, all right? What is actually written here are the three names for God in Hebrew, all right? That's what this is, all right? And it is actually a chant they would do, or a solemn swear that they would take, or the beginning or the end of an oath at that time. So what they were doing was right off the bat, they were saying, we before the Lord, we before the Lord, we before the Lord have a response. We're saying, We're not afraid not only to tell you this, but to stand before God and give this answer. They're setting up their answer beautifully. And here is their answer. He knows.
It's brilliant.
All right? First of all, we haven't forgotten that no matter what you think, or no matter what you feel, or no matter where our hearts are, God knows. There's no oath we're going to give, no response we're going to have, no attack on us that you can bring that God has not already understood and ordained. All right? Not going to happen. God knows. There's no surprises here. I love that. And let Israel know. So God knows our hearts. And if you give us a second, now we'd like for you to know our hearts. If this has been in rebellion or disobedience, don't spare us. Before the Lord, if what we did is rebellious or disobedient, don't spare us. Go ahead and y'all run right over us. If we built our own altar to turn away from the Lord to offer burnt grains and offerings on it, may the Lord himself call us into account. But no. We did it for fear that someday your descendants might say to ours, what do you have to do with the Lord, God of Israel? The Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and you have no share in the Lord, so your descendants might cause ours to stop fearing the Lord. As they came into their country, they were thinking about the future. Their minds were on their children and their children's children. And they said, before we wanted to do anything else, we wanted to build something that pointed back to God. Because of the way we think, because of the way we feel, because boundaries and borders separate people from God themselves, there might be a generation that comes along and says, those people over there, we're not those people. We're your people. We just happen to be on the other side of the river. And we didn't want anybody to forget. And we didn't want our children to forget. So we made an altar to the Lord pointing to your temple. From us to here. From here to there. It is a connector to your God, who is also our God. We weren't raising an altar to another God. We were raising a symbol, a point, a lighthouse to the God who saves. You know what the priest said? I like it. I mean, basically, that's what he said. The priest goes, good call. Good call. And we don't get the whole conversation, but I imagine underneath it, it was something like this. My bad. Next time we show up with our entourage, maybe we'll start with, hey, we were wondering about the tower out there. Maybe next time we come running in before we throw our spears, we'll go, hey, I was wondering what you guys were thinking when you took the time to build this imposing altar, this large altar. Church, do you think perhaps as a family, as we go our separate ways throughout the week, as a family, as we travel and we go to our jobs, we go to our schools, we go to our different places, and we're different types of witnesses to different types of people in different types of situations that we don't all understand. If you've never waited tables and served in a restaurant, you don't understand. You just don't. If you've never owned your own business and worked with it with your own hands for 20, 30, 40, almost 50, good Lord, years, you don't understand. All right? We don't get to assume that we get where you've been or where you're going if we haven't been there ourselves. Would not the church, would not God's people be way better off if they learn to go, hey, could I ask you about this? Instead of, did you see what that heathen did? Let's rip their covenant up. No, let's put it in a shredder. I can't believe what he did. I can't believe what she did. And yet, hey, look, I'm as big a target as any of you. Look what that little preacher said, I can't believe it. Until you're in my shoes, why don't you ask instead of assuming? Until I'm in yours, why don't I do the same? And as we come into the amazing time, Cameron and Sy and myself have gotten to get together once, and we're getting together on a weekly basis, all right? And we try to talk shop, but there is absolutely so much going on that we're really honestly putting our hands together and just trying to keep the ship moving, all right? But when we do get some conversation, there's one thing that all three of us agree on. Something's coming. All right? I mean, I can't describe it because I haven't seen it. I'm only sure that something incredible and phenomenal, that a wave of people are coming. I know it, okay? I'm certain. So are they. We're just like, don't know when, don't know how, we like to predict, but we're not. But we're on the brink of a people explosion, all right? We believe that. Not exploding people. That's a very different thing. That's a very different thing. But we are, okay? God has taken us through. He has gotten us to this place. All right? And we are becoming a community of one. We're about to separate, to divide in order to multiply through these small groups. And we're going to be discussing different things. We're going to be living in different areas. We're going to be studying different stories. But we're all going to be the family and the community of Nicholasville Baptist. And as we do that, there may be some people who think one thing or who wonder about another thing. And if those things spiral out of control, we will not experience peace. The Bible says, and they experienced peace in the land, and then less than 7 verses later, we have an almost outbreak of civil war among God's people. Why? Because they didn't ask. Because they assumed. Because they took for granted that they knew more than their brothers or their sisters. And I think God has a word for us, church. I think God has a word for us. And here it is. There will be outside forces that will try to bring us down. That will try to make our worship distracting. That will try to make our financial situation give us anxiety. That will mess with the wires in our sound system, all right? That will take people and maybe we would experience death or a crisis or pain in our family. There will be outside sources, and we will look at the devil and we will say, you have no place here.
No more.
But the greater problem comes from within. The greater problem comes from right inside the family. And most of the time, it can be averted by simply asking rather than assuming, by having a conversation rather than an accusation, by showing love instead of jumping straight to discipline. What a beautiful story way back in the Old Testament, talking about exactly where we are today. And where it doesn't want us to go. Phinehas the priest and the leaders of the community, the heads of the clan, heard what Reuben and Gad and Manasseh had to say. And they were pleased. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, said to Reuben and Gad, today we know that the Lord is with us, because you have not acted unfaithfully toward the Lord. You have rescued the Israelites from the Lord's hand. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the priest, and the leaders returned to Canaan from their meeting, from their conversation, from their time spent breaking bread with them. And they were glad to hear the report. And they praised God. And they talked no more about going to war against them and devastating the country where the Reubenites lived. And the Reubenites and the Gadites gave an altar, a witness between us that the Lord is God. They gave a name. To that point, and this could have been a bad situation becomes a twofold thing. say that way. Church, the messiness that's coming with the yumminess that's coming doesn't have to divide us. It can unite us. It doesn't have to cause us anxiety. It can bring us to worship. It doesn't have to cause us pain. And if it does, it can bring us to salvation and those around us if we handle it correctly. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus, on the God of Israel. Teach our children to focus on Jesus and the God of Israel. Lay altars and Ebenezers at every moment when He gives us what we need to Jesus. When He gives us sigh, we don't pray sigh, we praise the Lord. When He gives us camp, we don't praise Him, we praise the Lord. When He sends us a gift, we don't praise the gift, we praise the giver. That is the root of everything else. We lose sight. That's what Romans talks about. Everything that becomes devastating and all the sins we argue about today, they roll back to this. They worshiped the created rather than the Creator. That's the chapter 1 of Romans. Right before all of the stuff on murder and death and gossip and homosexuality and sexual sin, they fell into this sin first. Worshipping what was created rather than the one who created it. Take a hint from the ones who crossed the river and went to the other side. They just didn't want to forget their God. And they didn't want the people of their God to forget them. So they put up a lighthouse so that nobody would hit the shore. But that everybody would find their way home. We can do this. We really can. Joshua's a good book. It's a fun book. It's a great book for where we are. It's going to carry us to the next phase. I'm not scared that I don't know what that is. I'm excited about it. I really am. Maybe Judges. We may roll right into Judges. Maybe Ruth. We may jump back to where we started. I've got a heart from the book of Philippians. My first 4 weeks here at the church. Praise and peace. We may go back there. I don't know. But I know it's good. I know it's coming. And I know that I don't need to assume and you don't need to assume. We just need to take a look at who God is and where He is together. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for me?